diversity to public radio programming.
Europe Today from the BBC was recorded this morning at 11:06 Central Time.
News and information programs are made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company, ADM, resourceful by nature.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Henry Frayne is our technical director today. Joining me in the studio, Tom Rogers. He has our report of AM 580 News.
Thanks, Celeste. Good afternoon. County clerks in East Central Illinois say residents are all too aware of tomorrow's voter registration deadline. Both Champaign and Vermilion County say there's been an increased flow of visitors in the past couple of weeks, prompting some Saturday hours. Figures won't be available for a few days, but the clerk in Vermilion County, Lynn Foster, says the number of updated and new registrations is surprisingly high when factoring in the number of people who left the area due to job losses the last few years. Foster likens this year's election to 1992, when President Clinton was first elected to office.
We had a lot of precincts that voted in the 80-plus percent. We even had a couple in the 90s. And we had a lot of registration like this. And I think it's very similar to that. It's certainly the most interesting election since then.
Foster says her office has already sent out more than 400 absentee ballots, while her office typically sees around 1,000 total for a presidential election. About 1,000 absentee ballots have already gone out of Champaign County's office. The state is also offering a grace period for voter registration starting Wednesday and running through October 21st. Champaign County Clerk Mark Sheldon says it's seen as a huge advantage, but hopes it's only used as a last resort for those who simply couldn't meet tomorrow's deadline. Illinois' two major party candidates for the U.S. Senate square off tonight in public television in Chicago in their first debate. Sam Hudzik reports.
Republican Steve Sauerberg, a doctor from Willowbrook, began running a radio ad against incumbent Senator Dick Durbin this summer.
The diagnosis, a total failure of the career politicians in Washington, like Dick Durbin.
Sauerberg is well behind in recent polls and has relied on his own personal wealth to fund much of the campaign. Durbin, meanwhile, isn't hurting for cash. He recently started running a TV ad that never mentions his opponent.
And Dick Durbin has become a leading voice in our country to ensure that soldiers with traumatic brain injuries get the best care.
Tonight's debate on WTTW in Chicago will be followed by one more on commercial radio later this week. Sauerberg wanted 10 debates, but Durbin's spokesperson says these two should have enough statewide reach. She says this has, quote, not been much of a race. I'm Sam Hudzik.
The debate is only expected to last about 20 minutes on public television. You can hear that debate tomorrow night here on AM 580 beginning at 6:30 p.m. The next gubernatorial election is still 2 years away, but Attorney General Lisa Madigan acknowledges she's thinking about a run for the state's top job. Madigan didn't offer any hints today about a plan to challenge her fellow Democrat, Governor Ralph Blagojevich, should he seek re-election. Madigan says her immediate election goal is to get Democrat Barack Obama elected president. Madigan made her comments at the end of an unrelated news conference. The attorney general is the daughter of powerful Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan, and she's one of several top Democrats that are seen as potential contenders for Blagojevich's job. The others include Illinois Treasurer Alexi Janulius and Comptroller Dan Hines. A proposal before the city council in Urbana would give police the option of writing a fine for possession of small quantities of marijuana instead of criminal prosecution. Urbana City Attorney Ronald O'Neill says Champaign, Normal, Decatur, and several other Illinois cities already accommodate for the lesser offense for possessing minor amounts of pot or drug paraphernalia. But O'Neill does not consider it a lessening of the zero-tolerance policy against drug use.
You are going to be fined. Minimally, it would be $200, and it could be more than that depending on the circumstances. So, you know, you're still being sanctioned for that conduct. It's just that we're not referring you to the state's attorney's office, and you probably are going to have to appear in city court if you don't pay that fine ahead of time.
O'Neill says police have called for the change so they can treat minor offenses as ordinance violations instead of sending the case through the state's attorney's office, but he says police would still have the discretion of sending a case for criminal prosecution. Indiana has $106 million ready to help low-income residents pay their heating bills this winter. The figure includes $103.7 million in federal money, which is more than double the amount they received for last winter's heating season. Governor Mitch Daniels says qualified households will likely receive more aid this winter as heating prices rise, and more people might now meet the low-income requirements because of the economy. The state says low-income Hoosiers should apply for the aid now through local community action agencies. Indiana's natural gas utilities have already warned customers that heating costs will be likely higher this winter. Advocates say that all consumers should start preparing now for higher bills. Our next report of AM 580 News is at 2:30 Central. I'm Tom Rogers.
Today's broadcast is made possible by The Great Impasta, a restaurant serving foods from northern Italy. The Great Impasta offers a private dining room for parties, meetings, and other events. The Great Impasta, 114 West Church in Champaign. The staff at The Great Impasta encourage you to join them in supporting WILL.
It's 12:36. This is the Afternoon Magazine. 78 degrees in Urbana. Doubt that there'll be many days like this.